3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Exfabula!
True personal story.
Exfabula!
Exfabula is a Milwaukee nonprofit committed to strengthening community bonds through the art of storytelling.
And it's another edition of Exfabula Radio on Lake Effect Weekend. And we welcome back the co-founder of Exfabula, Leah Delaney. Hello.
Bonjour, bonjour.
Oh, bonjour. That's about the extent of my French, but so great to have you here. And it is hot and humid out there. We kind of like this time of the year, actually.
Yep.
Great week to be talking about water.
Yes, everybody's drawn to it. In fact, I wish I was at the Noah's Ark Water Park as we speak, but alas, I am not. But yes, water, water everywhere. That is our theme for this week's show. We actually had a water-themed story slam this past year at the Lakefront Brewery. And we're going to be showcasing, featuring a couple of those storytellers today. But the reason why we're talking about water today is that Reflow Sustainable Water Solutions, in collaboration with Exfabula, developed this new app called Water Story Milwaukee. In fact, it's Water Story MKE. And what that is a digital water-themed scavenger hunt across Milwaukee. So they are busting out their Great Water Race, which is going to be held on July 22nd. There will be prizes. There'll be opportunities for you to tell your own stories relating to water. It's a fabulous app, and I honestly can't think of a better way to experience Milwaukee in different areas that you've never traversed through, through scavenger hunts, actually. There's a couple of them around Milwaukee, but this is another one, and it's going to prove to be fabulous, I'm sure.
That is such a cool idea. Did you say underwater as well, or just along the waterways?
It's along the waterways, but I don't know. Maybe there will be some underwater action.
I hope so. That brings us to our first story, I believe.
Yes, ma'am. So we'll start our show off with Stuart Rudolph's water story. Here's Stuart.
My story about the incredible life-giving power of water starts on a beautiful spring Indiana day with my my good buddy. And I actually had my wife. We were young at the time, just gotten married myself. And my friend had his girlfriend of the week he was trying to impress. And we started out on this canoe trip. And I have to tell you that we were big adventurers. We had done a lot of crazy stuff between scuba diving and sailing across the Gulf Stream from Florida to the Bahamas. And we thought we knew water pretty well. We thought we were pretty safe around water. And so we had gone out and bought a couple canoes and said, hey, how hard can it be? Let's, you know, hey, we know on this map, we've driven by it, we can put in at this bridge and we can take out this other bridge. So, you know, should be fun, no big deal. So we're paddling down the river and we're having a good time. And, you know, what we do notice that the water is, well, it's moving really, really fast. It's like a spring flood. And we're having to paddle pretty hard just to maintain some steerage in the current. And, you know, so we're going along, and the water is also very cold. When, you know, we did have life jackets because we're not idiots. And then all of a sudden we started hearing this noise. It's like, what is that sound? It's like this roaring sound, and it's getting louder and louder. And we go around the corner in the river, and I'm thinking, well, what's going on? I don't see anything. And maybe there's a side stream or something. Maybe there's a waterfall coming in off a side stream. And we go around another corner in the river, and there it is. There's a dam all the way across the river, right next to a big power plant. And it's like, whew, I didn't expect that. I didn't know that was here. And so my buddy, he's paddling really hard with his new girlfriend in the back, and he just decides to go for it because he's a little bit more gung-ho than I. So he goes for it, and he goes right over this 6-foot dam, boom, and into the water right away. And, you know, and the water, we found out the hard way, was really, really cold. And so I looked at that and I'm thinking, there's got to be a better way. So my wife and I'm saying, Alice, come on, back up. So we're paddling as hard as we can to go backwards and go and get away. And oh, and there's this big red sign over there that says Portage. I guess we were supposed to have gone for that, known about that in advance. But at any rate, so we're trying to paddle really hard to get over to the Portage sign. And not doing too well. And by then, the canoe has turned sideways to the top of the dam, and then we roll right over it. And the next thing I remember is I'm spit out in this freezing cold, churning water, and I'm screaming for my wife, saying, Alice, where? I can't see her. I can't see what's going on. I kind of vaguely see some fishermen off to the side on the side of the bank. And I eventually get up, I look around on the bank, I see my buddy and his girlfriend and the canoes are way downstream, but there's no Alice. I'm looking around, well, where's Alice? I'm really getting panicky at this point. And then finally, there's some fishermen say, hey, there's somebody over there. And they go over and they find her. She's floating face down in the water. And I am just speechless at this point. I don't know what to say. I can't scream loud enough anymore. They go and get her and pull her up. And by the time I get down to that spot, I see that she's just coughing up water. And you know, thank God she's alive. And we rush off to the hospital where the doctors say one of her lungs is completely full of water, but they managed to get her to recover, and you know, we walked out of there later that afternoon and went back down to the bridge where we left our other car. And I learned a lot from that. Water can give life, but it can also take it away just like that. You got to be really careful and know what you're doing and read the manual. If there's something about the river and it says, hey, there's a portage, you know, probably should take that into account. Yep. Thank you very much.
And that was Stuart Rudolph, who told his water story at our Water Story Slam at the Lakefront Brewery in February.
Read the manual. I love that advice. Very practical when you get down to it.
Yeah, I wish I subscribed to that more often. It'd probably save me, I don't know, hours of my life at this point. So let's roll right into the next story. This was again told at our water. So let's roll right into our next story. This was again told at our water-themed story slam at the Lakefront Brewery in February. Here's Amy Jensen.
So I have to start by saying that I work for the Water Council, but that's not what my story's about. When I was 8 or 9, I went fishing with my dad. Now, the two things that you need to know about my dad for this story are, first, he lived in the shadow of the great fisherman, his father-in-law, where my mother would tell these stories of the great fisherman. He owned Pewaukee Lake. He caught muskie. The other thing you need to know about my dad is he never got into a body of water full on, full out, without first gently tapping the water, testing it to his skin, touching all over his body to get the temperature just properly acclimated to his body, and then he would get in the water. So this fine, beautiful summer day, I decided to go with him to go fishing, because he'd been spending his time going down to Clody Beach and spending some time on his own fishing, so I tagged along. And so we were all set up. He was in his waders. He was fishing away, and darned if he did not land a really nice lake trout. I don't know, probably like that. So he set it up on the stringer, and he tied the stringer to his belt loop, and he went on fishing. Now, for an 8 or 9-year-old who isn't actually fishing at all and looking around, and yeah, it's a nice day, but it got kind of boring. So I reached up and grabbed his shirt, and I said, Dad, could I hold the fish? So he untied the stringer, handed it over to me. So I was standing there holding the stringer, and the fish was swimming around, but the fish was still alive, and he was a strong fish. So the next thing I knew, pew, off it was swimming away. And I thought, uh-oh. And I reached up and pulled on my dad's shirt again, and I said, Dad, there goes the fish. There was not a hesitation, not the flash portion of a second. And this man who always had to get used to the water, pew, in the water, arms flailing. And I'm on the shore watching this. And I hear the laughter of the fishermen also along the shore, seeing all this unfold. My dad had always been a gentleman, so at least I had that going for me, but I wasn't exactly sure what fate awaited me when he emerged from the water. But he emerged from the water with the fish that he had caught a second time. He told me later that he could see the little gold end of the stringer out in front, and he was just bound and determined to catch it. So he stood up, soaking wet. Of course, he tied the fish back onto his own belt loop, not to be allowed in my hands again. And he stood, he fished for a little while longer, and then it was time for us to go home. And he finally looked down at me, and all he said was, "Your mother would never have believed me if I hadn't caught that thing again." And that was our day.
And that was Amy Jensen telling us her water story.
You know, I love to be out on the water, Leah, but I don't know anything about fishing. So anytime I hear a story like this, I'm in such admiration of what they can do.
Yeah, yeah, most definitely.
Or what the daughters can do, or maybe do by accident. So. Yeah.
Truly. So just to wrap up, the reason why we're talking about water today and fishing and all of that good stuff is because ReFlow Sustainable Water Solutions is jumping off with their Water Story MKE app. And they have a great water race, which is going to be an awesome scavenger hunt. And it's going to be held on July 22nd. So if you want more information about that, you can either go to ReFlow's Sustainable Waters website. You can go to exfabula.org to find out that and everything else story related. Or you can go on Facebook. I know that they have a Facebook event out for the scavenger hunt called the Great Water Race.
That sounds so cool. Yeah. And I hope they wave to us because the Chase Tower where we're located is right along the Milwaukee River. So give us a wave when you go by. Well, more great stories. Thank you so much, Leah, for joining us again this weekend.
Thank you, Rachel. It's good to see you.